In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this Holy Week. You're listening to Beacon of Truth, and I am Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EW10 Global Catholic Radio Network. And the purpose of this show is to help bring people to a deeper love and intimacy with Jesus Christ and with the Catholic faith by speaking the truth of the faith in love, as Paul directs us to do in Ephesians 4:15. And truth, as we will find out in a very, very powerful way this week, is not an idea, is not a philosophy, it's a person. Truth is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as he says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And this week, we're talking about Holy Week. I kind of give an overview of Holy Week. What is this week about? And then we're going to talk specifically about Holy Thursday tomorrow, and then Good Friday on Thursday. It's a little bit switched because of some great programming. Make sure you tune in to EWTN Radio on Friday for some special Good Friday programming. If you want to be part of the show today, give us a call. I'd love to hear from you about your experience of Holy Week, maybe some things that you do in your family, how you plan to enter more deeply into this Paschal mystery. Obviously, every Sunday we enter, or every Mass, we enter into the Paschal mystery, right? We enter into what Christ did for us. But this week, we have laser focus on kind of each component of what happened this week and how it applies to our everyday lived experience. How do we make a personal connection with what Christ did for us on Holy Thursday and Good Friday, and for the souls in Sheol on Holy Saturday? Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 833-288-3986 is the phone number to join us on Beacon of Truth. 833-288-3986. And of course, I don't have to say where I am this week, because obviously I'm home, which I'm so grateful to be home. And I just love being back with the family, connecting with everyone again, and especially my son this time, because he is preparing to move out. So we have our oldest daughter who's out on her own, and she lost two roommates. One broke up with her boyfriend. Now she's moving back, I think out of state, back to where she came from. And her other roommate is going to graduate school. So she's looking for two roommates. And so my son decided to move out and live with his big sister. So he's going to be moving out this weekend. And so we'll have two of the four out of the nest. And so also we went music shopping, bass shopping with my son yesterday. So I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. But this show is brought to you by some amazing people working behind the scenes. We have Charles Beery doing the social media. We have our call screener, Matt Gabinski, and our producer extraordinaire, Ace McKay. Ace, how you doing?
I'm good. So catch us up. How was the bass shopping?
All right. So we went to the music store, local one, actually just maybe a couple miles down the street from us, you know. I wasn't sure if they survived COVID or not, you right. know, so I said, sure, let's go by there just to see. And sure enough, they were open, and we went in there, and we brought his old bass, which was broken. And the pickup, you know, when you plug in, is had fallen off, and so, you know, it was just the bare wood. So I wasn't sure if we could fix it or not, but I thought, hey, just bring it, you know, and maybe we can, have some trade-in value or something.
Yeah.
So we brought it, and the guy, we told him that we're there to get a bass, but, you know, we have this other one. He looked at it, he goes, I think I can fix this. And so he ended up fixing it.
Nice.
And so my son did try out several other basses, but he ended up wanting to keep the one he already had. Because, I mean, I can understand it. You're used to it, and that's what you're used to playing with, and, yeah, you know, and but we did get him an effects pedal, like a kind of a distortion pedal. And actually, it's a couple of different effects in one. And so he, you know, so we did that, and we got some strings and some other things. And and I bought myself some stuff, you know.
Of course.
Being back in the music store again, I'm like, oh, okay, this is cool.
It's
this,
like a
this
kid feels, in a candy store. Are you
yeah,
kidding me?
Yeah, absolutely. Feels good to be back in here again. So I got a couple of pedals, and so I'm going to be messing around today, actually, after the show. And I bought a little cheap guitar, a little Squire, Fender Squire.
Okay.
Yeah, just to mess around with. And, you know, if I ever get serious again, I might buy a nicer guitar. But right now, the Fender Squire will suit me. I still have my other guitar as well, but this one has a tremolo, you know, so
yeah.
I can do those dive bombs and stuff. So
that's awesome. Now, I know the answer for myself, but being that you and I both like blues, B.B. King had Lucille, which was the name of his guitar. Do you name your axes?
Oh,
does your
no.
son have a name for his bass?
No, actually, that's a good. I mean, I play in a band in college called The Groove, and we have Groove stenciled. One of the guys in the band, a drummer, is kind of an artist, and so he took these kind of plastic things and stenciled Groove on the guitar. So I have that on there, but no, I don't. I haven't named the instruments. No, I mean, it's not like a pet or something like that. But I can understand people naming the instrument, but I don't have that. I don't play enough to really have that kind of relationship where I feel I can, you know,
right. Could
be naming the instrument. Because then when you go to sell it or get rid of it, then it's like you have an emotional attachment to it and all that stuff.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Well, mine is Sadie, and I have three, but Sadie has different dresses that she wears based on. So she has a red dress, a white dress, and a black dress. So,
okay. Yeah, So now, if I, like, for example, these two guitars, I'm going to probably keep one like in, well, first of all, I was going to have two. One's going to be 10s on it. The other one's going to be 9
mm-hmm.
string gauges. And then probably I'm going to keep one in drop D tuning.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
And so I can use both guitars, right? So I can, if I want to play something, I have the one. But if I want to do a drop D, I'll have the other one, you know. So it makes sense. It makes sense, man.
And for anyone who doesn't know guitar, they're like, drop D, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
So sorry to confuse you. We are talking Holy Week at some point. We will get
there. Yeah, I know, yeah.
This is catching up. So that's cool.
Yeah,
well, I'm glad he got it fixed. That's a big deal. You know, when you walk into a music store and a particular instrument calls to you, like to me that's a Holy Spirit prompting of, okay, let's take you home and let's make some creative, you know, music together. So that's very cool.
I am going to have to lower the action on it a little bit. The action a little bit too high for me. So I'm going to make some adjustments and lower the action.
One more reason to fiddle with it. Come on.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. Not too low. So I get a lot of string buzz. You know, we don't want that, but this week's Holy Week. Do you guys have any traditions or anything you do in your family or anything during Holy Week, or
I mean,
just attend the services?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, typical, you know, being, you know, Episcopalian, we have all of our typical Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday services. And of course, as a worship leader, there's usually, you know, performance or music involved in some of that. And we just launched a new church. So there's a lot of nuances within building community and hyping people up, because this is that time of the year where, you know, for some, it's like one of two times all year that they come. And so hopefully trying to, you know, take that spark, fan the flame, and, you know, get them involved, you know, in a community that they may not have been a part of otherwise. So it's always that. And then lunch with my folks after church on Sunday is always great tradition, and that never grows old.
Yeah. Being with family, man. That's it. That's awesome. But I've been hearing the same thing from the parishes I've been visiting on the Lenten mission circuit. How they have to prepare for overflow for Sunday. But wouldn't
sure.
that be great if we had that problem every weekend?
Right.
Where are we going to put everybody that's going to come to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass?
Yeah, let's just have it in the parking lot. Like, you know,
yeah,
it's like, just, you know, it's like an amphitheater.
Yeah. But now they got to about the parish hall, or they got to set up a big screen somewhere else. And if one parish is even having off-site, they're like renting like a conference space because there's so many people.
Satellite campuses are kind of a big deal too. But I will say this, and I always challenge this with people who are that what I call or affectionately call a Christer, where you go at Christmas and Easter and that's kind of your thing. Find the thing that brings you back. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't look for a million reasons or even one reason to not return. Like, all right, I did my check mark for, you know, once. You know, I mean, really engage in the fact that this is your faith. This is your relationship with Jesus, right? Like, you know, like I have a relationship with Deacon. He's my friend. You know, I have, you know, other friends, but it has its own unique perspective, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. But I have to spend time with you in order to be able to manifest that, right? So in order for us to be able to get closer to God, you have to be able to manifest every day and to have that community around you. So find a reason to go back, because it's peaceful, or the music really moves you, or the sermons. I mean, any of those things can excite us about our faith.
Yeah, exactly. It should be more than just, oh, well, it's Christmas, or, well, it's Easter, because that's what we did in our family. It brings back nice family feelings. Nah. If we knew what we were receiving and what God was doing for us, we would run to Mass every Sunday.
Absolutely.
Well, we're talking about Holy Week, and we want to hear what how the Lord is going to be impacting you this week. Give us a call, 833-288-3986. I tell you, these bumpers keep getting better and better. That's some good stuff you're finding there.
Got to bring out the best for Holy Week, you know?
Yeah, there you go. Well, you listen to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And as you hear, we have the best bumper music in the business, brought to you by our producer, Ace McKay.
Looking forward to having you on our team here at EWTN Radio. If you have been looking to be a part of the EWTN family on the radio or TV side, you can always check out employment online. Just to find out maybe what is it that God has been calling you to. Maybe you've been working in a particular industry and you feel like this is the time. Well, let us know. EWTN.com/employment today and find out what openings are available.
Right. Well, it is time for the Psalms, our Psalm reflection on this Tuesday of Holy Week. And again, we're talking about Holy Week this week. We're going to kind of give an overview of the week, and would love to hear how this week has impacted you. What kinds of things you're going to be praying about or praying for? What kinds of things are on your heart? What are you going to be bringing into these amazing liturgies that we're going to have on Holy Thursday, Good Friday, of course, Easter Vigil. Would love to hear from you. Give us a call, 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. Well, the psalm for today is Psalm 138. Psalm 138. This is in Book 5 of the Psalms, and this one was written by David. And this is really a psalm of what's called a Todah psalm, a Todah, or a Thanksgiving psalm, right? And so I chose this psalm because this week is a week of Thanksgiving. You know, in Greek, it's Eucharistein. So the giving of the Eucharist, especially with Holy Thursday coming up. And, you know, of course, no Mass on Good Friday, but you know, we have the Good Friday service. Of course, the liturgy of all liturgies, the Easter Vigil on Saturdays. There's so many things to be thankful for. But most especially, what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. And so Psalm 138, again, I'm using the Revised Grail Psalms, compiled by the Benedictine monks of Conception Abbey and approved for use in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass by the U.S. bishops. Okay, the first first verse, it has a very, very short prescript, just says, of David. That simple, of David. But now we jump right into the praise. I thank you, Lord, with all my heart. Right? Let's just look at that first line. I thank you, Lord, all my heart. What are we taught both in the Old Testament and by Christ emphasizing in the New Testament? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. And again, the heart is leb in Hebrew. It's not just an organ that pumps blood through the body. Heart is leb is the seat of the will. That is the place where your desire for God resides within you. Right? So I thank you, Lord, with my whole being, with all my heart. You have heard the words of my mouth, because you hear and answer our prayers, Lord. In the presence of the angels, I praise you. I bow down toward your holy temple. in the presence of the angels, I praise you, because the angels are our guardian angels, the messenger angels. In the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the angels are there, you know, and we want to praise and worship him in the midst of, with all the heavenly hosts, with all the heavenly choir. And I bow down toward your temple. Again, when we come into the church, we bow at the altar of the Blessed Sacrament behind. Of course, we genuflect. When the Blessed Sacrament is exposed and adoration, we double genuflect. You know, this idea of honor and worshiping our Lord in his temple. So what does that mean, the temple? Of course, the temple, now is our churches, right? It's about the physical building. But remember, 1 Corinthians 6:19, Paul says our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit that we have within us from God. So the temple is both the place we go to worship, and it's the temple is also within us, right? When we cooperate with the grace that God has given us in the sacraments, when we live our baptismal call to holiness, when we're witnessing to the power of God's love to this world that is hurting and broken and very confused, and that needs that witness. Here we are in the temple showing honor, reverence, glory to God. Not to the culture, not to government, not to politics, to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The person I will ever kneel before or bow down toward is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not to any man, to any principality, to anything else, only to Jesus. The psalm continues in the second part of verse 2. I give thanks to your name for your merciful love and your faithfulness. So I give you thanks, Lord, by name. Why? Because it's a personal relationship, intimate, personal, loving, life-giving communion with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the intimacy with our Lord. And so we look how many times we said todas, thank you, thanks, thanks. It's a continual theme of this particular psalm. For what? What are we thanking for? Merciful love, hesed, there's that word again, the merciful love of God and his faithfulness. Right? Mercy and faithfulness have met. Justice and peace have embraced. Remember that scripture, right? A beautiful reference right here in Psalm 138. You have exalted your name over all, right? Because God's name is above every other name, right? We hear in Philippians 2, God's name is above every other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bend in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth, and every tongue proclaim to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Verse 3, on that day I called, you answered me, you increased the strength of my soul. God, I love this psalm, man. Like every line, it just draws you deeper into the beauty, into the mystery of our faith.
I mean, what happens when we change our prayer life to just thank him for what's coming? I mean, does that not also expand our faith in the fact that we believe that something better or more peace or anything that takes us out of the situation or the circumstances that we're in, that he's always taking us to bigger and better things just by being thankful?
Well, especially when you don't know what that is. I remember, again, we talked about the Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael in a book of Daniel thrown into the fire. They knew that they were going to be in the fire. But they said, God is going to save us. But if not, because they were completely open to whatever God's will, even though they don't know what that is right now, they trust. Mm. They trust. And that's what we have to have. Yeah. We have to have thankfulness and trust. Beautiful, beautiful. And then now he expands this praise to not just us, this personal relationship. Now it expands to all because of our witness. Verse 4, all earth's kings shall thank you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. How are they going to hear the words of the Lord's mouth? From us. We have to be. How was they going to hear? How else are they going to know? This reminds me so beautifully in 2 Samuel 17 with David when he faces Goliath. He goes, I'm going to slay you that all may know that there is a God in Israel. That all may know there is a God in Israel. By my witness, by my example, by the deeds I do in the Lord's name, that's how they're going to know. So how are people supposed to know today in this culture, in this generation, in this time that Jesus Christ is Lord? How are all the kings, all these earthly rulers that are ruling by their own volition. They're ruling by their own, their own desires, their own passions and emotions, not rooted in any objective truth. We have to be the ones to witness to them. We have to stand up for religious freedom and for truth, right? Because again, truth is Jesus Christ. Truth is not a philosophy. They shall sing of the ways of the Lord. And then he quote here, how great is the glory of the Lord? See, just like King Nebuchadnezzar. At first he was condemning God. I'm your God. Then at the end he goes, there is no God that can save. Like the God of, well, he called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Right? So at the end, he was woke. He was the one that needed to be woken up. Not the three young men. And he was woken up by the power and the witness of those three young men. The Lord, verse 6, the Lord is high, yet he looks on the lowly. Right? He looks on the lowly. Yes, God is reigning in heaven, the highest heaven. But still, he's not so above us, so apart from us, that we cannot see and experience and witness his love and his majesty. And the haughty he knows from afar. Those are arrogant. He also sees them as well. You give me life, though I walk amid affliction. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. That in the affliction that we're in this world of trouble and confusion, the Lord is walking with us. He is with us. He has not abandoned us. He still loves us. He still wants to give life to us. So we should never lose hope, especially focusing on this week, on this Holy Week. Never lose hope. You know, this is a great opportunity to witness to someone who's away from the church this week, to have these liturgies, these beautiful liturgies of this week, draw them in more deeply. Back into the life of the church to reconnect. And that's what religion, right? Ligion is the Greek word for ligament. It means to join, right? So the ligaments are joined to bones, right? Joined by ligaments means to join. Religion means to rejoin, right? So it's an opportunity to bring people back to faith again. And then the psalm continues. With your right hand, you save me. Why your right hand? Your right hand is your oath-swearing hand, right? Your right hand is your hand of authority. So with your right hand, you save me. With your strength hand, with your oath-swearing hand, you save me. The Lord will accomplish this for me, right? Just like David with Goliath. It is the Lord who saves, not by the sword, not by the spear, because the battle is the Lord's. David understood that God fights with him and for him, and we have to understand the same thing. It is God that will accomplish everything that's great in our life. It is God that will make straight the path, as we heard from Isaiah, making crooked ways straight, rough roads smooth. And finally, O Lord, your merciful love is eternal. God, I love that. Because why? When we're with God in heaven, when we're finally home, our true home in heaven, there is no faith. There's no need for hope. All there is love. And that love is eternal. Now remember, everlasting means there is a beginning and no end. So we will have everlasting life. That means we have a beginning in our mother's womb, but there is no, and after we die, by God's grace, we'll be in heaven. With God forever. So we have, but eternal life is no beginning and no end. That's how much God loves us. No beginning and no end. Discard not the work of your hands. Lord, don't ever forget us. Don't ever let us choose to be apart from you. Beautiful. Well, today we're talking about Holy Week and what kind of special things are you doing this week? Give us a call, 833-288-3986. Joy entering the Holy Week here.
That's right. It's kind of a gospel-y workout kind of thing.
Yeah. You're listening to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. And we have a great group of folks working behind the scenes at EWTN Radio to bring this show to you every day. We have Matt Kabinski screening calls. We have Charles Beery doing the social media. And our producer, number one producer, Ace McKay. Ace, how you doing?
I am good. We're excited as Holy Week is officially here. So that means all week long we've got special programs, and one of which, Mornings with Mother. This is mornings where you can really spend time with Mother Angelica, also get into reflections of Station of the Cross. And then with Holy Thursday coming up, we've got Thursday, 8 a.m. Eastern. You don't want to miss out on that time with Mother, as well as special masses and lots of other events happening. So get the full schedule so you can follow it each and every day right up through Easter, and easy to find. Go to EWTN.com/radio and click on schedule.
All right. Well, we're talking about Holy Week this week, where we laser focus in on the Paschal mystery, the death and resurrection of Jesus, with the institution of the priesthood, the institution of the Eucharist, his redemptive death on the cross, and of course, rising to new life. Because, you know, we got to remember, there is no Easter Sunday without Good Friday, right? There is no resurrection without crucifixion, you know? So this is the week we laser focus on. We want to hear how you're going to be entering into this week. What kinds of things are, like I said yesterday, I went to confession. That's the way I kind of enter this week. Every Monday of Holy Week, I go to confession. Every year, you know, as a way to enter into this week with, you know, even if I went the week before, I'll still go again on Monday of Holy Week to prepare my heart, my soul, you know, to enter deeply as possible into the beauty of the liturgies this week. So love to hear from you. Give us a call, 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. Just like John has done. John calling from Columbia, South Carolina. He's listening on Catholic Radio in South Carolina. John, what are you doing to prepare for Holy Week?
Well, this year is a special one, unique for my wife and me. We were joining the Catholic Church this Saturday at the Easter Vigil Mass, and so we're going to have our first confessions tomorrow ever, and God willing, we will be able to receive the Eucharist for the first time in our lives. So this is indeed just a special week, and it all started with my son 3 years ago starting to go to the church. The Holy Spirit worked through him. He joined 2 years ago. His twin sister joined last Thanksgiving weekend, and the Holy Spirit has just worked through them, and he has called us to the church. So it's just, that's how, and it's very special for us.
Wow, how beautiful is that? And look at that, the children evangelizing the parents.
Indeed.
How about
Indeed.
That? That's awesome. So John, both you and your wife are both coming into the church. So were you a different Christian denomination before?
Lutheran, yes.
A Lutheran. Ah, okay. Very good. Very good. Wow. So how you feeling about confession? You a little nervous or?
Very much so. I mean, 57 years of, well, I know that I've confessed my sin and asked for forgiveness, never through the act of confession and reconciliation. So I'm both terrified and extremely want it so badly. So it's both.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, that's so great. Oh, boy, I'm definitely going to be praying for you and your wife. And your wife was Lutheran too, right?
Yes.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. And, you know, it's one of those things, John, that it's something that marks your life. You know, there's certain things that happen. I remember where I was when, you know, and this is one of those moments, you know, being confirmed and then receiving our Lord Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist for the first time, uniting your body with the body, blood, soul, divinity of the living God in that sacrament. What a tremendous, tremendous moment of grace and blessing for you and your wife. And think about this, John, how your marriage will be strengthened. Right? The gift of your marriage covenant will be strengthened and nurtured and fed by God himself in this sacrament. Man, so you have nowhere to go but up from here, John, that's for sure. And make sure you celebrate. I mean, go out and have a great dinner or a cake or something. Make sure that you celebrate with your whole family, because this is the time to celebrate. And remember, the week following Easter, the 8 days until Divine Mercy Sunday, all those are solemnities, right? And that what we call an octave of Easter. So all those 8 days are solemnities. So you can party every one of those days if you want to. But this is a tremendous celebration. John, we're so happy for you and your wife. And I know that myself and all the EWTN family will be praying for both of you as you begin this kind of new phase of your life, entering more deeply into the life of Christ, into his church, by coming into the church this weekend. So God bless you, John, and so grateful that you called. And see, this is why we do these shows, because of calls from John. What a beautiful way to start this Holy Week, to hear about John being evangelized by his own children. And I have a similar story with my dad, which I'll talk about tomorrow, because I want to share actually some reflections tomorrow on Mother Angelica. Tomorrow's the anniversary of her death, so I want to share some reflections about how she's impacted my family, very profoundly, in ways that I never would have thought possible. So you got to make sure you stay tuned for that. But today we're talking about Holy Week. You know, we just heard a beautiful testimony from John about he and his wife coming into the church. What kind of traditions do you have? What do you want the Lord to do in your life this week? How are you entering more deeply into what this week is about, especially the Triduum, Holy Thursday, the institution of the priesthood and the institution of the Eucharist, the redemptive suffering and death of Jesus Christ, and then looking forward to him rising to new life on Easter Sunday. Give us a call. Would love to hear from you. 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. We have Dominique on YouTube. Hey, Deacon, how can spouses participate in washing each other's feet on Holy Thursday? Are there any special prayers that go along with the ritual? Okay. So first of all, if we talk about the ritual for Holy Thursday itself, that happens during the Mass of the Lord's Supper on Holy Thursday night, that is only to be done by the priest. And the feet washing is to be done for men. And ideally, you know, 12 men, because again, that's nothing to do with, oh, that's just outdated, that's old-fashioned, we should wash everybody's feet. Okay, that's true, and we see Pope Francis and Pope Benedict before him, and John Paul II, St. John Paul II before him. We've all seen the pictures and photos of them going to jails or going to the homeless shelter and washing people's feet. What I'm talking about was in the context of the Holy Thursday Mass. In that context, the priest is the one who washes the feet of 12 men. Why? Because that was part of the how Jesus instituted the priesthood, by washing the feet. You look at Exodus chapter 30 and Exodus chapter 40, you'll see that they washed their hands and their feet when they went from the tent of meeting to the altar of sacrifice. They washed both their hands and the feet, and not just anyone, just the high priests and the priests. So they washed their hands and the feet. Now the priest washes his hands every Mass in the lavabo, right? So after he does the Bedikah or the blessing prayers, the server will bring over a finger bowl and the finger towel. He'll wash his hands, right? And he'll say a prayer for the forgiveness. Since that's actually not forgiving a mortal sin or anything like that. He still needs to go to confession. But that's that ritual that's left over from Exodus 30 and 40. He washes the feet on Holy Thursday. But that doesn't mean that you can't wash each other's feet at home. In fact, I tell men all the time at men's conferences, one of the things that you can do is go, when you leave this conference, you go home, you get a bucket of warm water, you throw a towel over your and you kneel down and wash your wife's feet as a reminder of what your responsibility and duty is in that home as the head of that family, right? You're the head because you're the chief servant of your wife and children. Jesus washed their feet to institute the priesthood and to give them the model of how they're supposed to serve. Right, they're supposed to be the servant. Like that's why one of the Pope's official titles is servants of the servants of God. All right. But there's nothing stopping from washing each other's feet. I think it's a beautiful thing. And there's no special prayers I'm sure when Jesus did, he just, like, in fact, all the movies that I've seen, including Passion of the Christ, he just washed their feet. He didn't say anything. He just knelt down, washed their feet. So there's nothing preventing you from washing your feet or washing your wife's feet as well. I think that's beautiful. I think that's a beautiful thing to do. We also have Zena on YouTube. Holy Week tradition: sacred silence in the home from noon to 3. Ooh, that's a good one. Sacred silence in the home from noon until 3. You know, wow, that reminds me, because when I was in the monastery, we had silence the entire day. Like from the end of Mass on Holy Thursday all the way through Friday, in the beginning of Holy Saturday, there was silence. And wow, I know I forgot about that till now. So Zena, but what a beautiful way to bring that sacred silence, to create that space, you know, where we can listen to God more intently within our hearts.
Yeah, and I like that too, because also it encourages Wi-Fi breaks, so that yes. while you're in that silence, you're not distracted, you know, on your phones or tablets or any of that stuff. Because we've done Wi-Fi breaks during summer, because the kids, you know, they're on it all day. So it's like, all right, internet break. And sometimes in the beginning, it was a little whatever for them, because they're like, you know, and, you know, not being able to hold it and all that stuff. But we have to get out of those habits to realize the things that we're relying on, and being able to use those silent moments to rely on God.
Exactly. And also a reminder that those are just tools. They're not our life.
Right.
What we're celebrating this week literally is our life. I mean, if Jesus didn't die and rise from the dead, then we're all wasting our time. Mm. It's just that simple.
Yeah.
There's no purpose for our faith if Jesus did not die and then rise from the dead, conquer death in order to bring us life. So that's beautiful. But yeah, again, I love that. The sacred silence that Zeno's talk about, and the no screens, you know, again, to show these kids, this is a special time. There's something really special going on this week. And by not using the screens, it's not a punishment. No. It's not a punishment. It's a way to enter more deeply into the mysterion, right? The mystery. The mysterion in Greek is translated in Latin as sacramentum, right? To enter into more the sacramentality of what this week is about. We also have Pam on YouTube. This week always makes me especially emotional when I consider all that Christ went through for us. Oh, yes. And wait till you hear Thursday's show, where I go through what happened to Jesus physically on Good Friday. From the scourging to the crucifixion, and physically what was happening in his body at that time. It's just, you know, you might have to bring out a couple tissues for that one. Because it was really excruciating, the torture that he went through. Remember, he was bearing all the sins. Now let me just say this. If you look in the book of Leviticus, there's part of it where I think it's the ordination of Aaron, as a priest, as a high priest. He laid his hands on the goat. And when he laid his hands on the goat, all the sins of the people went onto the goat. And then they drove the goat out into the desert. And when the goat died, the sins of the people died with the goat. Right? So that would happen once a year. And so Jesus is the scapegoat. Right? He's the one who's driven out of the city. He takes all the sins, all the weight of our sins upon himself. He's driven out of the city like the goat. And he died on that cross. Right. And when he died and rose from the dead, our sins died with him. Right. So that's why we go to the sacrament of reconciliation, to access the grace that he gave us from that cross, to access that treasury of merit that was full when he died on that cross. Beautiful. Awesome, Pam. If you want to share with us how you're entering more deeply into this Holy Week, would love to hear from you on Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. The number to call is 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. So Holy Week is basically the week between Palm Sunday and the great solemnity of the resurrection on Easter Sunday. that commemorates the Passion of Christ and all the events that led up to it. So historically, we see in 1 Corinthians 11, actually the Paul's depiction of the Mass, which is the first place that we have what happened at the Last Supper. Because remember, Paul was writing before the Gospels were written, right? And then soon after that, right around the year 260 or so, we see some of the writings of Dionysius of Alexandria speaks of so people went without food. They fasted for the whole of Holy Week. The whole week they fasted. That's another good thing we could do this week. So we got the sacred silence in the home. We have the no screens. And how about this? Extra fasting this week. Now, there's something from the past that I think would be beautiful to bring into our tradition today in the church. Extra fasting this week. Again, not mandated by the church, but it's something on our own. Something that help us enter more deeply into what this week is about. And so we also see about a few years after that, St. Athanasius of Alexandria also talked about the fasting of those six days preceding Easter, right? In Holy Week in Jerusalem, they began to call it the Great Week, starting with, of course, Palm Sunday, Christ's triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem. And to commemorate that, there were huge crowds that assembled at the Mount of Olives. They were singing hymns and antiphons, and they were doing readings. And they returned in procession to Jerusalem, bearing palms and olive branches. So that was something that was done in Jerusalem about 4th century or so as a way to commemorate. So you see how things were building. Into Holy Week just didn't happen. There were things that people did that led up to it. And Holy Thursday, the liturgy was celebrated in the late afternoon, and everyone received the Eucharist at that Mass. And after the Mass, people went out to the Mount of Olives to commemorate the agony of the garden and Christ's arrest. And they would have readings and hymns at those holy sites, right? In fact, it would be an all-night prayer vigil. They wouldn't return to Jerusalem until dawn on Friday. Wow, imagine that. After celebrating Mass on Holy Thursday, you go out to the Mount of Olives and in the Mount of Olives, the agony garden, you would be reading, doing readings and hymns all night, an all-night prayer vigil. And kind of like staying up with Jesus like he did on Holy Thursday in that cistern, in that dungeon on Holy Thursday night in the basement of Caiaphas's house. Right? Wow, what a beautiful way to celebrate this week. And of course, Friday, there was the veneration of the relic of the true cross, right? We venerate the crucifix on Holy Thursday. We know we all come up and we genuflect and kiss the cross. But back in the early church, they celebrated by venerating the true relic of the true cross. And for 3 hours in the midday, another service was held in commemoration of Christ's passion, and some of the reports of that of those gatherings, people were crying, and again another all night prayer vigil was also held as well. Wow, how beautiful! Now Holy Saturday, besides the usual divine offices today, there was a great Paschal vigil in the evening with the baptism of children and catechumens, all right, which we still do to this day. So what kinds of things are you doing to enter more deeply into this Holy Week? Love to hear from you. Give us a call, 833-288-3986. You're listening to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. And the phone number to call is 833-288-3986. Just like Rita has done from the great state of New York, listening on Sirius XM 130. So, Rita, how are you entering more deeply into Holy Week?
Well, mine is a journey. I'm going to do it all. I'm going to go on upstairs about it. Three years ago, it was Good Friday, and I'm working. And I'm a doctor, and the office is always rowdy. Everybody complains. And this day, 3 o'clock, 3 p.m., I get out. It was very unusually quiet. I look at the clock. I said 3 p.m., and then I go to church on Sunday, Easter, and then I learn Jesus died at 3 p.m., Then the next year, I said, well, I'm going to take Thursday and Friday off. Sure enough, I took the week off, and I'm going to read The Hours of Passion by Luisa Picaretta. Remember? Luisa Picaretta from Italy. And I got the flu, and I was in bed. One day, 2 days, when Thursday, I started reading The Hours of Passion, but I didn't finish. I felt so bad. I said, okay, Jesus, I read it a little bit at a time, a little at a time. You're going to love this. And then one day, I'm reading it last year, halfway. I opened my eyes, spiritual eyes, you know. I said, Jesus, you died for me. I said, thank you. If I never ask you for anything again, thank you, you died for me. I got it.
Yeah.
So one day I said, Jesus, I want to get a photo of you, but I have all tons of crosses. I want something nice. Sure enough, 2020 comes, and we couldn't go to church. And I go to church at 10:30. I go to church, flip out the channel, and this Franciscan priest on TV, EWTN, are talking about the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the story behind. So I buy it. Now I have a photo of my heart of Jesus. It's a Sacred Heart of Jesus. Beautiful. I only paid $35. So one day, I get it. I get the priest, you know, signs over it, bless it. And I take it. I am a doctor that travels. I go to a hotel over the TV, so I don't watch TV. And one day, I kneel. I say, Our Father, Our Mary. Having read about Luisa Picaretta, I kiss his hand when he has the blood, you know? I said, thank you, Jesus. I get up and leave. And I heard his voice. I heard a voice of a man. But this man was a gentleman. He was quiet, serene, and he said, your petition has been granted. I opened my eyes. Yeah. And it was Jesus because he was calm. And then I said, I think I fell in love with him. Because I not only read about the Hours of Passion, but now I had his voice in my heart of the kindest man that could happen. Dude, if you heard it, he was calm and peaceful. And then I said, my love, and so my love even grew deeper like a tree. And now I said, Jesus, I can say no to you. You died for me.
Amen. Oh, how beautiful. Rita, so thankful, so grateful for your call today. Thank you for sharing your heart with us. Thank you for helping us to enter more deeply ourselves into what Christ did for us. And I hope that we have the same experience as you did, Rita, that we get it. You got it. And you can hear the beauty of the emotion in your voice as you think about and dwell on what Christ did for us. And I pray that every single person listening will have that same experience of thanks, of thanksgiving this week in a particularly powerful way. Oh, God bless you, Rita. And we also have Jen calling from Sydney, not Australia, but Ohio. They're listening on Sirius XM 130. Jen, how do you enter more deeply into Holy Week?
First of all, hello, and I love your show. Always sign up. We have adoration, and it's like throughout the night, and I try to pick like the most unpopular time so that not only is it nice and quiet, but also it's kind of a sacrifice to pick that adoration. But in addition to that, there are all kinds of, we live in like what I call God's country here in Ohio. There are like every 3 or 4 miles, there's a Catholic church, which like out in the rural areas. And that sounds, well, anyway, we hop from church to church. We try to hit 7 churches. And wow. Each year, it started out with just me and a girlfriend, and then we invited other people. And now we have like a whole minivan load of ladies that just go church to church, and they all have adoration going on.
Oh, beautiful. Again, spending time before our Lord is another beautiful way to end more deeply into this Holy Week. Jen, thank you so much for that call. Man, God, love our EWTN family. Seriously, this is awesome. Think about all the ways we just heard how we can enter more deeply into what's going on this Holy Week. Sacred silence, no screens, adoration, taking off from work, just like Michael did. He takes a vacation to celebrate Holy Week. Now, remember, you can stream today's podcast show by visiting podcastcentralew10.com/radio. Tomorrow, we're talking about Holy Thursday. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.